We've been studying in a series that the Lord gave me called A Word from Jeremiah.
It's time for another Holy Ghost-inspired message from God's Word, recorded live at Living Water Church in Bridgeport, West Virginia. Now, here's Pastor Jerry.
Father, thank you for the time of worship together. And now we're going to ask that we get into your word, that we would further be just filled with your spirit, filled with your understanding, and filled with wisdom of knowledge of your word, and that it would sink into our hearts, and that, Father, that you would help me to bring that accurately to you. I thank you and I praise you for the word. And Lord, today you speak to us in whatever direction you want to, and I will praise you and I will thank you, Lord. God's people said, amen, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. We've been studying in a series that the Lord gave me called A Word from Jeremiah. We've been in the book of Jeremiah, and hopefully it has spurred you on to get into the book of Jeremiah. Some of you have already been there, but I want to start in this morning again with our base verse, Jeremiah chapter 1, verses 4 and 5. Then the word of the Lord came to me, Jeremiah, saying, before I formed you in the belly, I knew you. And before you came forth out of the womb, I sanctified you. And I ordained you a prophet unto the nations. So the word that Jeremiah was giving was not only for his nation, but for the nations to come. And we are included in that. And over the past few weeks, we've been hearing a word from Jeremiah regarding, is there anything too difficult for the Lord? We heard that last week, and to call upon him because he will answer us. And that our job in week one is to be what Jeremiah was, a prophet to the nation, bringing forth the word of God. Let me ask you this. How many of you have been practicing that to those around you, bringing the word of God to others around you? Now, that could mean you speaking the word. It could mean you just living the word. But either way, that's our job. Today, part three of this message, and another word from Jeremiah, and how appropriate. I do want to go back a couple chapters, and I want you to find Jeremiah chapter 31, and we will begin there in just a moment. But today, based on the recent events that are taking place even right now as we speak with Israel, and the things that are happening, and the attack on Israel, and the war that is going on in Israel, we're going to get a word of prophetic utterance from Jeremiah regarding Israel. And I want to talk about Israel today, and I don't know as if I've ever done this through a Sunday morning sermon, but I want to bring this almost as a teaching, preaching regarding Israel, and where the body of Christ should stand on Israel, because in the news we have seen all sorts of sides of this, and everybody talking about, you know, some in support, and then you have others, and again, graffitiing on the walls, and organizations that have kicked themselves back up again against Israel. And so today I want to really dig into this and hear the word from Jeremiah regarding Israel. Are you with me? Because we really need to know, and I believe God has called us as pastors and teachers and evangelists, those that are in the ministry, to equip the saints of God with what they should know about Israel and about what God says about Israel. I won't be able to cover everything with this today, but if we look in Jeremiah chapter 31 is where we begin here now in verse 27. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will sow the house of Israel and the house of Judah with the seed of man and with the seed of beast. And it shall come to pass that like as I have watched over them to pluck up, to break down, to throw down, and to destroy, and to afflict, so will I watch over them to build and to plant, saith the Lord. Now Jeremiah 31, go down to verse 31. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they break, although I was an husband unto them, saith the Lord. But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, saith the Lord, I will put my law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts, and will be their God, and they will be my people. And they shall teach no more every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord. For they shall all know me, from the least of them unto the greatest of them, saith the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more. Now, how many of you have read those passages sometime prior in your life? All right, how many of you have understood completely what those passages are talking about? How many of you have some sort of understanding of what those are talking about? We're going to dig just a little deeper into this. So the first thing, God has declared that Israel will be a nation before him forever. That's God's declaration. Now, contrary to what is happening in the past, you know, we have seen so often that this little nation of Israel has constantly been under attack. From the time that it was formed and that God formed this nation. And then we see in World War II and Hitler and the annihilation of the Jews and the gas chambers. And now, even up till today, back we had the Six-Day War. And now again, what they're calling Israel's 9-1-1 that has taken place against the Jewish people. And there are many people that are trying to annihilate this nation and that there will be no more Jews. Those that are in this terrorist groups and Hamas and so forth, what their motto is annihilation of the Jewish people. But I want to proclaim something that God has said, this nation will be before me forever. So have you ever heard of fighting a losing battle? Now there may be some victories, and there was a little victory that happened here, but God's declared this. Understand God's word that no matter who tries to snuff out Israel, it will not succeed. Will not succeed. I want you to look now at verse 35 in this chapter. Thus saith the Lord, which giveth the sun for a light by day, and the ordinance of the moon, and the stars for a light by night, which divide the sea, which the waves thereof roar, the Lord of hosts is his name. If those ordinances depart from me, saith the Lord, then the seed of Israel also shall cease from being a nation before me forever. Do you understand what God was saying here? He was saying, listen, people, the only time that that is going to happen, that Israel will cease from being a nation, is if the sun is gone and the moon is gone and these ordinances and the waves roaring and that I am not on the throne, then Israel will not be a nation. But how many of you know that's not going to happen? So God declared it. And I have so much to cover, and I'm hoping that I can get through this today. Number two, Jeremiah gives in these prophecies that we read those two passages of Scripture, he gives what is called a dual prophecy. Now, For many of you that have never heard that phrase before, a dual prophetic prophecy, and we teach this in the Ministry Training Center, is something that is prophesied that will happen immediately or within the coming years. And then it also has a dual meaning of what will happen in the distant future. So there are many of these kinds of prophecies that are in the Word of God. And these prophecies that Jeremiah gives us a word here are exactly those things. And I need you to really get a hold of this and understand this, because when you look at verse 27 and 28, he's talking about the days are coming that the Lord says, I'm going to sow men and sow beasts. Now, some people don't understand it. In other words, it means that God said, I'm going to repopulate Israel again. Men are going to repopulate, beasts are going to repopulate. Because remember what happened to Israel during this time. They were taken into captivity and the land became desolate because there wasn't anybody there to work the land. There wasn't any people. They were all taken to Babylon by King Nebuchadnezzar. Or King Nebi is who I call him. And they were taken, and so it was desolate. And God said, I am going to repopulate with man and with beast, and it is going to come back to the way that it was. And it'll come to pass as I've watched over them, I've plucked them down, dealt with them, and now I'm going to rebuild. And that happened after 70 years. That first part of the prophecy happened where they came back into Israel. How many remember people like Nehemiah and Ezra? And they were instrumental in that, in the building of the walls in Jerusalem and coming back again as a nation. So when we look at that, God said he was going to do that. And what God says he will do, he does. Recently, my brother Rick gave me a CD that he got from some group. It was probably back in the 80s, back in Salem. I don't know who it was, but one of the songs on there I haven't heard for years. And it talks about my Redeemer, what he says he will do. And it just brought me again to tears as I listened to that. How many of you have a song that every once in a while that does that? It hits you and you're like, God, you're so faithful. And that the chorus said, my Redeemer is faithful and true. What he says he will do, he will do. And so when God talks about Israel, he will do what he says he will do. And he did this in this first particular situation here. When God said it would happen. Jeremiah chapter 16, turn back just a few chapters in 16. In verse 15, but the Lord liveth that brought up the children of Israel from the land of the north, from all the lands where he had driven them, and I will bring them again unto their land that I gave unto their fathers. Behold, I will send for many fishers, saith the Lord, and they shall fish them. And after will I send many hunters, and they shall hunt for them in every mountain and from every hill out of the holes of the rocks. Isn't that interesting? Now, what God is talking about here, he did it in bringing the people back from captivity. But now we're going on. How many of you remember? I'm not going to go there, but Ezekiel talks about the Valley of Dry Bones. And what did he see happening in his vision? Coming together. First he sees the bones coming. Then he sees the muscles coming on. And then he sees the skin coming on. You see, God is bringing together the house of Israel. And he's not done it all at one time, but he is bringing it together. And God sent out fishers, Larry, to fish for those and to bring. How many of you know that people are coming back to Israel right now? Jewish people by the thousands are coming back to Israel. In 1948, or I believe it was where the nation of Israel was once again brought into a statehood. And God has been bringing individuals that are Jewish back to their home roots. Isaiah chapter 11. Jump with me back over to 11 of Isaiah. Verse 11 and 12 now. And it shall come to pass in that day that the Lord shall set his hand again the second time to recover the remnant of his people that shall be left from Assyria, from Egypt, from Pathros, from Cush, from Elam, from Shinar, from Hamath, and from the islands of the sea. How many of you know that's happening right now? They're coming from every direction. And he shall set up an ensign for the nations, and shall assemble the outcast of Israel, and gather together the dispersed of Judah from the four corners of the earth. God is doing this. And he has been doing this, and so many Christians are just oblivious to what God is doing because they don't know the Word of God and never have looked in and studied the Word of God of what is happening. God is bringing the people together. And I'm telling you, what God says he will do, he will do. It breaks my heart to hear some of the things that are out there right now on the news of those that are saying death to the Jews. Because we hear the Word of God here. So we have that prophetic utterance that was given, the first part, for the Jews coming back. The second part of it now has to do with a different time period. If you look in Jeremiah 31, 31 through 34, and as we read those verses, this speaks of another time period. Because if you look at this, after those days, saith the Lord, I'll put my law in their inward parts, write it on their hearts. Then he talks about that they will all know the Lord. Let me ask you this. Do all the people in Israel right now know the Lord? So some people say, well, then this is a lie. No, this is not a lie. This is the law of double reference. Double prophecy, where God is speaking about a time period that will be in the millennial reign of Christ. Now, for some of you that are not sure exactly what that means, that currently the age that we are living in is what's called the church age. And then this church age, and where God is giving his grace and pouring out his grace, and he's not willing that any should perish. If you ever wondered why all the evil stuff that's going on, that God just hadn't said, boom, you're done, and just get rid of all the evil, that's because he is still waiting for some to come to him. He's long-suffering. This is the age of grace and mercy right now. But then will come the tribulation period, which that tribulation period is just around the corner, folks. I know we have heard it said for years and years, but it is coming. And in that tribulation period, I'll tell you this, that first 3.5 years, there will be peace. And Antichrist will be saying, peace, 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 everything will look good. But yet all the while, deception is taking place. And even those that once knew the Lord and waxing cold and going over to Satan's side. And this is why it's so important that we understand the Word of God now, that we make commitment that we do not turn back from what we have known. Because in that second part of the tribulation period, there will be the wrath of God that is poured out. Now, God has promised us as his believers that we will not experience the wrath of God. I will tell you this then. At that particular time, what is going to happen is that there will be those that will be Jewish witnesses. And they will begin to testify of Jesus Christ and what he had done. And many Jewish people will come to Christ during the second half of the tribulation. and they will give their hearts to Christ. After that, listen, and I will tell you this as well. Many people say, yeah, well, look, you know, we're going to have time after the tribulation to get saved. We'll just wait till then when we know the tribulation is here. Yeah, people will be getting saved, but they will also be martyred for their faith and tortured. Right now, listen, is the time. Don't harden your heart. Come to Christ now is the message that we are proclaiming. But after that, at the end of the tribulation period, what happens is that Christ comes back. He sets his foot on the earth and he says, enough is enough. I'm paraphrasing here. And he destroys the armies of the enemy by his word. Here's the good thing. You and I come back on white horses with him and we watch the word of God destroy that which is evil. Somebody say amen. Okay. But after that, there is a 1,000-year rule and reign of Christ. And there is a temple in that place. And we are spiritual Israel, folks, and these Israel come. And now we understand that the law of God is in their hearts. Israel, the law of God is in their hearts. And they will not need to teach anymore, come and know the Lord, because they will all know the Lord. We will all know, and His law in our hearts, we won't have to be going around saying what? Know the Lord to those of us and Jewish people. But right now, we're going to talk about what is our responsibility. Does everybody understand this dual prophetic message that Jeremiah gave and the two different time periods that are involved? Yes, that was a major thing that I want to get through here. The Apostle Paul confirms everything that we just read in Jeremiah, and I want to go there so that you understand this and you have a solid basis for when someone talks to you about this, that you will know what you're talking about. Over in the book of Romans, if you'll turn over there with me, Romans chapter 11, and we're going to stay in here for just a little bit. Because the Apostle Paul was a Jewish man. He was a Jewish rabbi. And then he gets saved, and God calls him to preach to who? Gentiles. Gentiles that at that point were considered dogs. They were considered nothing, and yet God was accepting Gentiles into the family of God. On the day of Pentecost, they were all gathered in one place. The Spirit of God fell on them. Those were Jewish people. Then they went out and began to preach, and all of a sudden, the Spirit of God started falling on Gentile people. Somebody say amen. Amen. How many of you are Gentile peoples in this house? We used to be, now we are spiritual Israel, right? And the Spirit of God fell on them. But yet there was many that were saying that were Gentiles. And it's still going on today where we have the church who now is saying we are better than the Jewish people. And there's a doctrine that's out there right now that the church has replaced Israel. Let me just tell you, do not accept that doctrine, because that is a false doctrine that is going on, and it is not according to the Word of God. The church has not replaced Israel. Verse 1, I say then, has God cast away his people? See, Paul was answering the question because there was a lot of, even back then, it was, well, God just has done away with them. We're the thing now. And he says, God forbid, for I also am an Israelite of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. And then he continues on there that God has not cast away his people. He has not done that, folks. Verse 8 now. According as it is written, God has given them the spirit of slumber. Who? Israel. He has given them the spirit of slumber. Eyes that they should not see and ears that they should not hear unto this day. Have you ever tried to witness Jesus to a Jewish person? Anybody? I have. And it is like running into a rock wall. Years ago, I was on an airplane coming back from California, and I sat next to definitely what I could tell was a Jewish rabbi. He had on his tallit underneath and his hair all done up and his hat. And I said, Lord, what do you want me to do here? So I pulled out my Bible and I started reading Isaiah, kind of hoping that he would look at it. You know? Well, he was reading his material. And I said, how are you today? Good. So I'm reading Isaiah here, and he goes, And we started to talk about Isaiah. We started talking about some of the things that were there in Isaiah and had a wonderful conversation for about 15 minutes. And then I mentioned Jesus. Conversation was done. So have you ever wondered in that kind of situation what happened? But here we know that Paul says that God has given them a spirit of slumber right now. God has given them this. And it's interesting because a lot of times we're like, how could God do that? Why would God do that? Why did God do that? So that the Gentiles could come into the family of God. So why would any Gentile now speak against Israel and say, we've replaced Israel? We should never do that, folks. God has done this. And David said, let their table be made a snare and a trap and a stumbling block and a recompense unto them. Let their eyes be darkened that they may not see and bow down their back alway. I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall? God forbid. But rather, through their fall, salvation has come to the Gentiles for to provoke them to jealousy. Never, ever do I ever want to hear a cross word about Israel in this church. Because God has allowed us to come. He has allowed us to come, and now, right now, we're in that process of provoking those back to Christ by the life that God has given to us. You right now, do you know there are Jewish people getting saved? We support Jews for Jesus. They're out there every day. And other organizations that we call them Messianic Jews now, where they believe in Messiah. They're coming to Christ. And I love that. Now, verse 25. For I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest that you should be wise in your own conceits, and blindness in part has happened to Israel, until the fullness of the Gentiles has come in. And so all Israel shall be saved, as it is written, there shall come out of Zion the deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. For this is my covenant unto them, when I shall take away their sins. As concerning the gospel, they are enemies for your sakes, but as touching the election, they are beloved for the Father's sakes. Did you get that last verse? Did you really get it? Concerning the gospel, they are enemies for your sakes, because right now they're against the gospel. But as touching the election, who elected them as his people? God did. God elected them, and he said, these are my people. And then he said the gifts and callings of God are without repentance. In other words, God's not going to change his mind and say, I've thrown away Israel right now. They're no longer to come back. He's not going to change his mind. That is not going to happen. But we must particularly pay attention that we are not to touch God's elected. Touching his anointed. You know how many Christians I have heard, and the word that the young people used, I think, Tucker, is it still dissing someone? You got to keep me up on these things, okay? I know it's hard. We are not to diss the Jews or the Israel people. In any form or fashion, do not touch God's anointed. That's part of that, folks. Number three, God is emphatic about this nation of Israel. I mean emphatic about it. And we've read those verses over in Jeremiah where he says, unless the sun and the moon in this world stops moving, Israel is my people. He is emphatic about that. You know, I spoke earlier about this. What God says he will do, he will do. And in that tribulation period, the last half of that tribulation period, God's going to bring these folks. I want you to turn over to Revelation chapter 7. So don't write them off because God has a plan. Revelation chapter 7, John sees this. And I don't know where I started Rick at, but 14. But I want to hear in verse 4, John sees in the vision here, and I heard the number of them which were sealed, and they were sealed 144,000 of all the tribes of the children of Israel. So again, the 12 tribes of Israel show back up again. God has not forgotten his people. And out of each one of them, 12,000 total of 144,000 sealed, and those became preachers in that last period of the tribulation. 144,000 of them bringing Jesus to the Jewish people. And thousands coming to Christ. Thousands coming to Christ. Now, let's move down to verse 14 where I had Rick. And I said unto him, Sir, who are these people? Thou knowest. And he said to me, these are they which came out of the great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore are they before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he that sits on the throne shall dwell among them. They shall hunger no more, neither shall they thirst any more. Neither the sunlight on them nor any heat, for the Lamb which is in the middle of the throne shall feed them and shall lead them unto living fountains of waters, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. These are Israelites, folks. These are Israelites. So let's not diss them. You know, one of the things that sometimes we don't want to realize what we're doing by speaking evil. And the Lord really convicted me of this. How many of you know a little bit about me? I really love to get discounts and use coupons and things of that nature and in any way that I can. Laura and I did a great job going across the country. And, you know, a lot of times we ate at fast food restaurants for like $2 and $3 for both of us. And it was great. Love that. Right. But I'm telling you that here in this situation, God expects us to pay attention to our mouths and how we say things. How many of you have ever said something like this? I Jewed them down. Now, a lot of us, we've heard that phrase some, you know, in all of our lives and say, I got a really good deal. I Jewed them down. You know that is a diss towards the Jews. And I said that one time, and the Holy Spirit just hit me like a ton of bricks and said, "What are you doing? Those are my people. Touch not mine anointed." And I went, and have not done that since. We don't touch God's anointed. God's emphatic about his people. Point number four, and the last thing that I want to bring up, is the role of Gentile believers is to support Israel. Let's bring this all to a close here. What is our job here? We know these are God's people. We know what his plan is for the future for them. What is his plan for us right now as the body of Christ? It has never changed. Number one, to bless Israel. To bless them. Genesis chapter 12, jump back there with me. And some people say, "Oh, that's the Old Testament. That's way back then." Has it changed? "Now the Lord said to Abram, 'Get thee out in your country from your kindred, your father's house, and the land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless you, and curse him that curses you. And in you shall all the families of the earth be blessed.'" What's the first thing we ought to do? Bless Israel. Bless them. Now, when you look up the Hebrew word here, it's Baruch. How many of you heard that word before? Baruch Adonai. It means to bless the Lord, bless God. Blessing here means that we are going to praise, extol, speak well of. So if you have not spoken well of Israel, it's time to start speaking well of Israel, because the blessings of God are upon you when you do that. But when you speak evil, as we see some of these things happening right now in our world, and these groups that are joining together to speak evil and speak death to Jews, the curses of God will be upon them. And if they do not get saved, this is a bad situation. Whoa. It's a bad situation. Now, some people say, it's just hell. Let me explain something to you. Do you think that God has kept account of all this that has gone on? You better believe he has. And unless you get saved, and that's washed by the blood, I believe that there are degrees of torment in hell, according to what I read in the scriptures. And this is not good. This is a woe to curse Israel. Cursed are those that do this. Numbers chapter 24, verse 9. Another scripture. "Blessed is he that blesses you, and cursed is he that curses you." How many of you understand that one? Is that hard to understand, Patty? It's not hard to understand, but yet it's not preached in churches at all, for the most part. And the people of God sometimes are wondering, well, what should I do? You know, maybe I should take the side of the Palestinians because, the hand of Israel is just down upon them, and you're hearing all this rhetoric that's going on. God says, bless my people. Bless my people. You know, part of blessing is not only verbally, but I believe it's also financially and what you give. And if you're not in a habit of giving to Israel and blessing some type of ministry in Israel, let me suggest that you begin to do that. Because there is a blessing there in blessing Israel. You know, I've known these scriptures for many, many years, and I verbally blessed Israel. And one day the Lord said to me, well, how about doing something else for my people? How about blessing them tangibly? And so Laura and I made the decision to begin to do that. And God's blessings have just poured out. Poured out. Now, I'm not saying, okay, you pop in that coin and God will just start giving you thousands of dollars. But I'm telling you, He will bless you. Because that's His Word. Here at Living Water, we support a church in Israel that is giving humanitarian aid to Ethiopians that are coming into Israel, and they're helping them to get established, feeding them and getting them places. We support that, and that's part of supporting Israel. Evangelism for Israel, whatever the case, be a part of that. Let me encourage you, because that is an awesome blessing. And I believe God has blessed Living Water Church, Brother Rick, because of that. Pastor Aaron, you know that as well, because of the blessings of God. Number one, we are to bless Israel. Number two, what we know in the Scriptures is that we are to pray for Israel. Psalm 122, jump over there with me in Psalm 122. God, thank You for Your Word here. Thank You that You give us wisdom and give us knowledge regarding how we ought to feel and how we ought to act in our world today. Psalm 122, verse 6. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. They shall prosper that love You. Abby, did you get that? They shall prosper that love You, that love Israel. I don't know about you, but I want to prosper. You want to prosper? Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Peace be within your walls and prosperity within your palaces. For my brethren and companions' sakes, I now will say, peace be within you. Because of the house of the Lord, our God, I will seek Thy good. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Here's an interesting one, too. What else should we pray for? I believe that God has called us to pray for the salvation of these that have been, their eyes have been slumbered. God says, pray that their eyes would be open, that their understanding would be open. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, did you know that this was here? That we ought to pray for their salvation. Many of us pray for the peace of Jerusalem. But let's begin praying for the salvation of the Israel that we know today. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 14. But their minds were blinded, for until this day remaineth the same veil untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away in Christ. But even unto this day, when Moses is read, the veil is upon their hearts. Nevertheless, when it shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Let's begin to pray that the veil would be taken away from the Israelites' eyes, that they would come to know Jesus. Even now, and some of us say, yeah, but you said they're going to come in the second half of the tribulation. Oh, so do we want them to go through all that tribulation? No. We want them to be saved. Let's begin to pray for them. And I spent the remainder of that flight praying for that man that was next to me, for his salvation, because his eyes are blinded. The last thing, and this is so apropos to where we're at today and the things that are happening, we ought to pray that the enemy's hands would be held back from the destruction of Israel. Psalm 129, and I want to close with this. Psalm 129, verse 5 and 6. Let them all be confounded and turn back that hate Zion. Let them be as the grass upon the housetops, which withereth before it grows up. This is a prayer that I believe that we need to pray even right now. That the enemies of Zion that hate Zion, that God would hold back the hand of destruction that they plan against Israel. And that God and the peace would ensue, that people would continue to come to know Jesus Christ in the midst of everything that's going on right now in Israel. I pray that today, in the time that we've had available, that you've understood Israel and understood God's heart in Israel and understood where God expects us to stand in Israel as the people of God and the church of Jesus Christ. Father, thank you for that. Thank you for your word. We will bless you, Lord. We will bless Israel. Father, thank you so much for giving us the opportunity to do that right now. Father, we would go out of this place a changed people. A changed people from being in your presence and in your word. In Jesus' name.
We thank you for listening to today's message and pray that the Holy Spirit touched your heart. If you would like to support this ministry, please send your donation to Living Water Church, 1000 Hall Valley Drive, Bridgeport, West Virginia, 26330. Living Water Church is a 501c3 nonprofit organization. Your gifts are tax deductible.